also want to be in movies that can only be told by the person directing, and ideally the person writing and directing. And that was certainly the case here. Only my son could have written this, because it was so specific to his experience living off campus at Oberlin College just a few years ago. And he put everything he was seeing and everything he was feeling and experiencing into the film. And in a sense, almost every character is some version of my son and his perspective on the world.
Hey, everybody, that is actor Tim Blake Nelson, terrific character actor and someone that just brings really unique skill set to everything he does, talking about why he decided to do this next movie that he's in and has a really great perspective on how he got started in acting and just a really intellectual actor who I really, really respect and admire his work. Before we get to that, I'll be doing stand-up May 10th and 11th at the House of Comedy in Edmonton, Canada. And then the weekend of May 30th, I'm going to be at the House of Comedy in Phoenix, Arizona. Go to my website for tickets. Also, the tour for Permission to Speak, my Broadway show, has been going great. We've added new shows in Schaumburg, Illinois, Indianapolis, Milwaukee. Go on my website for dates. We're adding more as we speak. So it's been really great. Before we get to the actual interview, I was looking at my dog, Daisy, and I'm a glass half full kind of guy. Like, I'll be honest with you, I'm like a worst case scenario guy. You know, like if the plane's going down, everybody on the plane's like, oh my God, we're going to die. We're going to die. And I'm like, called it. That's how I am. So my dog, on the other hand, is incredibly optimistic, like an eternal optimist, because there, when she goes on these walks, there's certain trees where like, oh, there's a squirrel there. She saw a squirrel there once. So she always goes to that tree and stands there. We'll stand there for hours, just thinking the squirrel's going to show up. And I'm like, why couldn't I be like that? Why couldn't we be like that? Just, you know what? The boss isn't going to be a jerk today. Okay, you know what? I'm definitely going to get to make love to my wife tonight. Like, optimistic that it's always going to happen. And when it doesn't, you're still optimistic it's going to happen. That dog will stand there and go, that squirrel's coming. I know this time the squirrel's coming. This dog will die thinking that that squirrel is going to come. And if I could be like that, I could think that life is actually better than I actually think it is. And I think that would be pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I'm going to go do self-checkout and I'm not going to get hassled by the machine and I'm not going to have to get aggravated when I punch in 7 digits to get a banana to come up for 39 cents and it doesn't. And then I snap and you know what I'm saying. But it never changes. And yet I think if I were a dog, I would think it's going to change. I guess it's the definition of insanity, really. Maybe my dog's just insane. Anyway, I think there's something to live in life like that, but you got to be a dog and be willing to just be focused on the moment. And I think that's hard. So having said that, I'm going to actually believe that I'm going to win the lottery today and something good's going to happen in bed tonight with my wife. Because it's like a squirrel. The squirrel's coming this time. I can feel it. All right. Anyway, I think you get the point. Enjoy this conversation with Tim Blake Nelson and hope to see you guys on the road. Go to my website to see where I'm performing live. I'm all over the country. We'd love to have you guys come out and see me. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show and welcome first timers. My guest this week is a very, very terrific actor who I'm a big fan of. You know him from his work in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Minority Report, Holes, the HBO series Watchmen. He's also a very accomplished director in his own right. And he's starring in a new film, Asleep in My Palm, directed by Henry Nelson, who is also his son. It's great to have Tim Blake Nelson on. How are you, Tim?
I'm really well, and it's my pleasure to be on your show.
So we have a couple of things in common. We both live in New York City, but you went to Brown, and I grew up in Providence, as did my wife. And my wife grew up on the East Side, like a block from Brown. So I know Brown well and Providence well, obviously. Did you have a good time when you went there?
I did. I didn't go there to study film or acting. I went there to study classics, and then was just acting in a lot of plays and decided about halfway through that I would continue with my classics major, but I was going to try to become an actor and go to graduate school.
Yeah, and you did that. You did work in Tulsa, I know. And what was it about acting that pulled you in that direction, just out of curiosity?
Well, I'd done it in high school and I'd always enjoyed it. I'd done a lot of plays in high school and then also wrote skits for morning meetings and so did a lot of silly comic characters as a cut up for classmates. And then when I was in college, my mother, one spring, and you know, actually my freshman year, said, "Look, now is the time. You don't have any financial responsibilities. You don't have a family. You don't even have a girlfriend. You should be doing anything and everything. You liked acting in high school. Why aren't you going out for plays? And why don't you go work at a summer theater?" And so I'm realizing how unlikely it was that a parent was encouraging their offspring pursue a life in the arts. I went and acted in a summer theater, and then I never looked back and just kept. Came back to college that for my sophomore year and started acting in plays, and I couldn't get enough of it, and then realized that I needed more education because I'd stuck with my classics major. So I was spending a little bit too much time reading Cicero and Plato and Aristotle, and not enough. Hadn't done quite enough theater. And so I went to graduate school for it.
And Boleslavsky. That's amazing that your mother did that. That's like such
she
the
was
antithesis
an incredible
of a lot
woman.
Of...
she died about a year and a half ago.
Sorry to hear that.
And she was an extraordinary person.
Did I read correctly that she was a social activist, a philanthropist, like was very involved
a social activist in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She was the head of the Planned Parenthood chapter there, was also the head of the Tulsa Housing Authority. So she did a lot of work in low-income housing. Late in her life, she did work with refugees. She was a phenomenal person and also a Holocaust refugee.
Oh, wow. That's an amazing person. And did you enjoy Providence and living there? It's a cool little town. It got better, I think, after you left.
I loved Brown. It was the perfect school for me. It still has this combination of being rigorous academically, but having this open curriculum that allows you great freedom as long as you are ready to work your ass off. So it's a really great place. And now my youngest son is there as a freshman.
Oh, great, great. Yeah, my father-in-law had his OBGYN practice right at the corner of Thayer and Lloyd. There's a big yellow house like two blocks over from the Brown hockey rink. And so, which is weird.
I lived
because
on
like
Brown
when
and
you
Lloyd
up,
when I was off campus.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So
two blocks away.
It's weird though. Like when you live in a city like that and you grow up, it's still like a small town. And so like, I can't tell you how many people I'd run into it, but it's like, oh, your father, I'm standing there with my wife. Oh, your father, he delivered me. Oh, he delivered my kid. Like it was like time and time again, it was like, you know, yeah, it's pretty funny. But let's talk about the movie for a second. Really interesting premise. I'd like you to explain it a little bit, but in a nutshell, it's as a father-daughter relationship. They're living off the grid on the outskirts of a liberal arts college in northeastern Ohio. And it's a really interesting look at this sort of dynamic between the father and the daughter. And what was it? I know you're in what I read that your son was intrigued by sort of this sort of the dichotomy of the two worlds of the rural area that the college is set in and in the college itself. What pulled you into this story to want to make it?
Well, I'm always looking for interesting characters, but I also want to be in movies that can only be told by the person directing, and ideally the person writing and directing. And that was certainly the case here. Only my son could have written this, because it was so specific to his experience living off campus at Oberlin College just a few years ago. And he put everything he was seeing and everything he was feeling and experiencing into the film. And in a sense, almost every character is some version of my son and his perspective on the world. And those are the kinds of stories I want to be involved in. Not movies that are cynically trying to be like the last successful film, but stories that are sui generis. He's that kind of storyteller. And so it was just a privilege to be able to play this character. It made sense to me. And that almost is a contradiction, because maybe it shouldn't make sense if it's something you've never seen before. But it makes sense because the movie establishes its own terms, and then coheres once that has happened. There are some really wild characters, including my own, and the character played by my daughter, but also some of the eccentric people we meet along the way. And it's a look at the experience of, or the phenomenon of, a liberal arts college in a depressed area that I haven't seen before. And I just really admired the way that Henry took that on and created a story out of it.
And he sort of always intended to work in this industry in some capacity as a screenwriter and a filmmaker, or did this idea catapult him into that?
No, he's always wanted to make movies. He's been going to sets with me since he was about 5 years old. And I don't know, from when he was about eight, he was often in the summers, especially when I had films, he was living with me. There'd be a cot in my hotel room, and he'd get up with me at 5:30 in the morning and be on set by six, and spend the day just with me. I was watching, my wife and I saw on the, I think it was IFC maybe, this movie I did a long time ago called The Good Girl, that directed by Miguel Arteta, written by Mike White. And I was in this truck driving, and I just said, just casually, oh yeah, to my wife, I said, yeah, Henry's in the floorboards right beyond me. And he would just, whenever I was driving, he would be knelt down, you know, in the back seat or below the passenger seat. When I was at a desk, he would be under the desk, out of frame. I do blocking rehearsals with him on my shoulders. I mean, he was just always around and always loving it.
I know what that's like. My father, it's a different industry, completely different business, but my father put floors in for a living. And I just remember being a kid and like begging to go to work with him and just go. And I look back now and I have a son, you know, it's just, I obviously just wanted to be with him, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd go and I'd help him and lift the linoleum and roll it out and cut it, and it was just, and I remember sitting in the back of his van. He had a big, you know, van that, you know, it was like a really special time, you know, and
I'm sure he loved
it. I think it's the same principle. Yeah, I think he did, you know. I mean, I remember a couple of times I was mad at him because he wouldn't take me because he said, I have too busy a day and I can't worry about where you are, and I got mad and whatever, but it's really sweet. The relationship that your character has with his daughter is interesting because he's deceiving. I don't want to give away too much of the movie, but on some level in watching it, he's deceiving her for his own, it feels like, manipulation or gain or whatever you want to call it. and she's too young, and she's too enamored with her father, and you know, to see through it. I thought that that was a really, it was fascinating to watch and also uncomfortable to watch. That was obviously to me a central factor in this story. How did you play that, and how do you and the director and the writer, who's the same person in this, kind of walk that line?
Well, as an actor, you're always advocating for your character, and generally we don't think of ourselves as manipulating others. Certainly he's aware he's hiding certain truths from her, but he believes he's doing what's best, not only for her, but for others. He doesn't like how the world is, and he's trying to protect his daughter from that. And he's also trying to put someone out into the world who might harbor ideas that are inspired by him that'll, in a tiny way, make the world a better place. And so that's why he's raising his daughter the way he's raising her. And so I guess in answer to your question, the way we looked at it, and I think certainly the way Henry wrote it, was as a character who thinks he's doing the right thing.
Right. I do see in his eyes sometimes that he's not convinced he's doing the right thing. That's just me as the viewer. And I don't know if I'm seeing something that's not there. At times I see a true conviction of his beliefs, and at other times there's something in his eyes that tells me he's not even sure if he's doing the right thing.
That's certainly true, and that's what makes him human.
Right.
And so and you're right. I mean, so that's well observed. We were interested in as much in his certainty as we were in his fragility.
Yeah. You do a great job playing that, which is a test. And in the writing, directing too, it was very human and very real. Like that it would have been too cookie cutter, too black and white to just have him be so sure of himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I always like to say that life lives in the gray area, whether you're an adult raising a kid or you're a kid being raised by an adult. And I felt like that was a really beautiful way of playing this character, to show the conflict in him. And as we know, as parents, it's complicated enough to raise a kid. Then later on that you're doing it off the grid, and it's a whole other set of circumstances. But I thought it was really a beautiful way to play that.
Yeah, and you add in the fact that she's his best friend, and perhaps his only friend.
Yeah. And is he really prepared, you think, in his mind to let her go? Because she has to go at some point.
Right? I don't think he is. And that's a very good question. And it's addressed in one of the scenes. And he says, "I'll be fine." But I don't think he's facing that moment. And that was very easy for me to play, because Henry was still in college. It was his final year, his fifth year. He did 2 degrees. And we had one of our other boys was a freshman in college, and then another one was a sophomore in high school. And I think as parents, we don't ever really face the fact that our children are going to go away from us until it's actually happening, because you really can't. It's so dramatic that it's not something you can accurately imagine.
Yeah.
Until it just has to occur.
Yeah, because when I've thought about it, it's just, I just put it out of my mind. I'm like, all right, well, I don't want to deal with that now. It's like, later, but you've got to. And what I do love about this is you do see his good intentions in this character of trying to prepare her for the world, But then at the same time, I'm like, but then he has to let her get into that world. And, you know, kind of, she's going to have to learn on her feet because he's not in that world anymore. I mean, it's a really great story and really great character study and a terrific acting by you and by Chloe. She's terrific as your daughter.
Yeah, Chloe Kerwin. It's her first movie, and I think she's obviously going to do many more.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to wrap, but it was really great to have you on.
My pleasure.
It's a really terrific film, Asleep in My Palm. It's out everywhere now. Tim Blake Nelson, and just a real honor to have you on. I've been a big fan of your work, and congratulations on the film and all of your success.
Thanks. I'll see you on the 2nd.
All right, there you go. The great Tim Blake Nelson. Hope you enjoyed that. Again, May 10th and 11th, I'm going to be at the House of Comedy in Edmonton, Canada. May 30th weekend, I'm going to be at the House of Comedy in Phoenix, Arizona. Hope you can check it out. Appreciate you guys checking out the podcast. Tell your friends about it. Spread the word. And we will see you guys soon.